Welcome to Off the Charts, the Horse Racing Stakes Picks podcast. This is episode 47, and I am your host, Dave Ginsburg, with expert horse player Steve Duckhorn. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great, Dave. How you doing? I know you're on vacation. Are you enjoying yourself?
I am. I'm here in Charlotte. I'm as bad as my wife. Keep saying Charlotte. I'm in Charleston, South Carolina, having some nice R&R. It's really beautiful here, sitting by the ocean. Seabrook Island is where I'm located, so it's away from the city. But I'm enjoying it, and I decided, you know what? We can't break our record of weekly podcasts, so I'm here to stay dedicated to our listeners. Go ahead.
That's awesome. Awesome. So you're not in Charlotte. You're in Charleston.
Charleston. And there's no horse racing here. So I even looked it up. There is no horse racing in South Carolina at all.
Except I did see you in a picture of with a horse, but I'm assuming that thing doesn't run in any races. So. Yeah,
horse's name was Dynamite. It was a carriage ride going through Charleston.
You almost said Charlotte again. Didn't
I did.
You?
I did. I know. She really caused this problem. I wasn't saying it before. I kept correcting her.
So, that's great. That's
so,
awesome.
So if I sound a little different, I'm using a headset microphone, so it's not as good. But I'm kind of a perfectionist when it comes to that, but that's okay. We'll get through it.
Yeah, no worries.
Anyways, let's get started here. Visit our website at offthechartshorseracing.com. At the top of the page, you'll find all the ways to listen to us. Spaces are covered. Check out our Facebook group. And also make sure you ask Echo to play Off the Charts and tune in from Amazon, and you'll be able to listen to this as well. Follow us on Twitter at Off the Charts HR, as Steve may post some changes or maybe some other picks that he finds. We now have over almost 13,000 downloads. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then we're still about average about 400 downloads a week. So you're all listening to us. We really can't thank you enough for doing that. So for this week, we'll talk about what happened last week during some of the races you picked. I think we had Dalmar and Saratoga. And we'll also have a horse neck segment, paramutual wagering. That should be an interesting topic. And I guess this was inspired by one of our friends, huh?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
So we'll give him a shout out in a moment here. Then you're going to handicap four races. Looks like we got to pick four on our plate this week at Saratoga. Some great stakes races at Saratoga. So go ahead, get us started.
Yeah, Dave. So just a couple of things. I just want to talk about real quickly are the downloads. Actually, Dave, we're being downloaded about over 500 times a week.
That's awesome.
Yeah, people keep coming back and downloading the other podcasts. So our track record right now, Dave, is that we're getting about 500 downloads of our podcasts.
Yeah.
In the course of a week, which is really fantastic. I'm really happy about that.
Yeah. Who knew?
Who knew? So let's go. Let's just take a look at last week, Dave. We handicapped four stakes races. We had a top pick winner and a top two pick winner. Let me talk about those a little bit.
Sure.
Our top pick winner was 8-1 in the morning line and went off at 6-5. Some of that was due to the scratch of Accelerate in that race, but I kind of promoted the fact that I had an 8-1 shot as a top pick, and indeed the horse did exactly what I thought it would do, which is wire the field, but it only paid $460 to win. And then we had a top two pick winner at Del Mar that paid $13.80. Really, when you look at the races, we easily could have been 4-4. One of our top picks at Saratoga got beat on the wire. And our other top pick at Saratoga got, Jose Ortiz got lost on the horse in the stretch. And when he found an opening, he really flew, but he just couldn't get there in time. So I really thought that we had a little bit of bad racing luck. In fact, I had tweeted out, it seems like every time I bet the Ortiz brothers, they find a way to get themselves in horse trouble. But anyways, pretty successful week with those two winners, top two pick winners out of four races. We now stand at 251 stakes races handicapped, 113 top two pick winners. So still about 45% of the time, the winner of these stakes races is coming in the top two picks.
All right, great. Well, let's move on to this week. But first, we want to get to the horse analytics segment. You had wanted to talk about this topic, parimutuel wagering, and you said one of our friends inspired you of this. Let's hear about this.
Yeah, well, you know, as you know, Dave, we have a friend, Chuck, that sends out pretty lengthy emails pretty much after every one of our podcasts. And he thought it would be good for me to mention the takeout at the racetrack, and I thought I would kind of parlay that, pun intended, into a segment around parimutuel betting. And I'm, you know, this is not going to be a long segment, but it's always surprising to me the number of people that play the horses who don't really understand what the inside gambling concept is.
Sure.
This is parimutuel wagering, which means that we're playing against each other. We're not really betting against the house. So that, you know, when you're in places like Las Vegas and you're playing casino games and the other stuff that's offered to you in a casino kind of environment, you are actually playing against the house. In horse racing, you're actually betting and playing against the other folks that are betting those particular races, whether you be at the track or an OTB or betting from home. Mm-hmm. All the money that is bet is put into a pool, and in that pool, which is kind of the part, the takeout part of this conversation, the track takes a certain percentage of the wagers off the top, and the percentages change from track to track, and they change from wager to wager, and so. You know, you're not really getting the true exact odds on any horse that you might bet because of the takeout. So as you can imagine, if there's $1 million bet on a race and the takeout's 20%, $200,000 is coming off the top and $800,000 then is available to be spread around to the bettor. So that if you're betting a 4-to-1 shot, it's probably more likely in reality a 5-to-1 shot. So in that way, you are playing against the public a little bit because of the takeout. And so it's good to be conscious of the takeout. As I said, the takeout changes depending on whether you're betting a trifecta or a pick three, pick four, pick five. And I do know a number of handicappers that are very conscious of the takeout. In fact, I remember that Keeneland, I believe last year, increased their takeout on their multi-win race wagers, and they lost a whole lot of handle because of it. So it's definitely something that, you know, that bettors are conscious of. But my main point here is that when you look around and you're at a facility that provides horse racing, you are really gambling against everyone else who's betting. So it's an interesting concept in that, you know, we are not betting against the house. We are really betting against each other. And one other comment I wanted to make, because we're playing against each other, you will find that the very best handicappers and people who invest a lot of money usually tend to gravitate towards the top tracks that have the top jockeys and top trainers. I think they find that those races are a little bit more formful. But I do know some very successful horse players who focus on some of the tier two tracks where they don't get as many professional horse players and can get themselves fair value for the horses that they're playing. So, you know, that's one of the things I also wanted to mention about playing these stakes races every week, Dave, and I've mentioned it before, but I'm giving selections in the big league. This is the big leagues. These stakes races at these high profile tracks, you know, all the top handicappers, all the people that invest large sums of money in wagering on horse races are playing these races. So again, that's my competition when I have to make these selections. But I've done that by intent. So anyways, Dave, parimutuel wagering. We are wagering against each other. We are not playing against the house. And yes, there is a takeout. That's how the racetracks make their money. They just take money off the top of whatever pool is available and being wagered on that particular race or sequence of races.
And like you said, there's a lot of tier two tracks. I mean, Arlington, Penn National is probably really low end. What about some of those tracks? Are those are a lot more challenging, really, because they're, you know, the horses aren't as good. You know, like you said, the jockeys aren't as good.
Yeah, but Dave, I know guys who do really well at those tracks because they focus and they know who the trainers are and what the trainers are trying to do, and I think the consistency of the form of the horses has a little bit more variable in it,
right?
But you certainly have a better opportunity to identify high paying horses, and so certainly I know horse players that focus on those tier two tracks and do pretty well.
Yeah, man, that's the thing too. We see it at the off track betting all the time. You have these guys that are betting 3, 4, 5, 6 tracks at once. How do you get anything out of that?
It's difficult. So, you know, for me, when I observe those folks, I feel they're more addicted to the gambling and the rush of gambling.
Yeah.
And that's never been, as you know, having been with me for many years now, that's never been my approach. You know, I'm interested in the investment, and I'm interested in making it profitable. And yes, Dave, you know, we know some folks personally who bet every track, and every 5 minutes they're going to the window to make a wager. And again, that's fun for them. But it's really not a way to win at the races. So,
all right. Excuse me. All right. Let's move on and let's kick into this, the four race, picks you've got for Saratoga this week. All right, we're going to start with the seventh race. It's at Saratoga. It's 6.5 furlongs. It's a grade three. It's this 26th running of the Amsterdam, and it's $200,000, and these are three-year-olds. Is this a pick four? Because I don't see that listed.
It's not a pick four, Dave, and it's the start of that Naira pick five, which is only for New York racing people. So you can only if you're a resident of New York can you bet the pick five. So we got a pick three.
Pick three. All right. So we'll start it off with the pick three. Go ahead and give us your picks.
Yeah, Dave. So my top selection in this seventh race at Saratoga on Saturday is going to be the five horse. I'm going to put Strike Power on top. Mark Hennig is the trainer. Johnny Velasco is the jockey. This horse is 5-1 on the morning line. The thing that I've noted about this horse, Dave, is that this horse really came and started its career in great fashion, winning and breaking its maiden, throwing a 102 buyer speed figure in there, ran second in the Fountain of Youth. If you remember, that was the race Promises Fulfilled, went wire to wire. And then Hennig threw this horse in the Woody Stevens at Belmont. Looked like it showed a little bit of early foot, some pretty fast fractions there, came out of the 11 post out of 11 horses. So, and the notes say that the horse was parked four wide on the turn and logically tired out. I like the fact that Hennig kind of laid this horse off after that effort. Love the workouts here. Johnny V comes back second time, Johnny V, which is a move that I like. And I think this horse has got some talent, and I think the rest is exactly what this horse needed. I also like the fact this horse had a workout over the Saratoga track. So let's make the five horse, Dave, Strike Power our top selection in this seventh race.
Yep.
Our second selection is the likely post time favorite, the three horse Engage. Engage is trained by Chad Brown. Jose Ortiz is the jockey. This horse is 8-5 in the morning line. Pretty nice record at Saratoga, two starts that are winning a second, a couple of sub 12-second last eighths of a mile. So this horse does definitely have a closing kick. Chad Brown's doing nothing wrong, as usual, at Saratoga. But I think this horse can be overbet. You know, I think 8-5 is pretty rich for this horse based on its record and past performance. But I certainly would want to have this horse in any of my multi-win race wagers. So let's put the three horse, Dave. Engage as our second selection. And our third and final selection, Dave, let's go to the rail. Let's make the one horse, Barry Lee, Horacio De Paz, Joel Rosario, 10-1 in the morning line. You know, this is one of my, you know, my favorite handicapping angles. Third off the layoff, has the bullet work at Saratoga. Probably coming into a pretty good race. Buyer speed figures are a little bit light, but I really love third off the layoff, especially with a bullet work coming into a race. This horse is out of violence. You know, I love that sire. 10-1. I think Rosario is going to get a real nice cozy trip on the rail here. And I like the jockey change. I like the jockey change from Alvarado to Rosario, who's riding really well at Saratoga right now, 18%. So let's make the one horse, Dave, Barry Lee, our third selections, Dave. So to summarize the seventh race at Saratoga on Saturday, our selections are 5-3-1.
Okay, let's move on to the eighth race. The eighth race is 6 furlongs. It's a grade one. It's the 34th running of the Alfred G. Vanderbilt Handicap. $350,000 is the purse, and it's for three-year-olds and upward. Let's get your picks.
Yeah, Dave. So I'm making some price plays pretty much in all these races at Saratoga on Saturday. Yep, gonna make the 7-horse Done Deal our top selection. Ian Wilkes trains. Chris Landeros is the jockey. 8-1 on the morning line. Really nice lifetime record. 7 lifetime starts. 4 wins, 2/3. I like the mid fractions in its horse's last start at 22nd. Middle quarter, and then another sub 12 second eighth of a mile in there in the middle fraction. So kind of a little bit of a hidden form there, which I like. Really love the fact that after that horse race at Prairie Meadows, this horse went to Saratoga and got the workout, got the bullet workout, 5 furlong bullet workout, best of 41 on July 21st. Horses won, what does it look like here, Dave? 4 in a row, going for its 5th in a row. So, horse definitely knows how to find the winner's circle, and I think we're going to get a nice price on this horse. I don't think Wilkes is sending this horse here by accident. I think he really thinks he can win this race. So let's make the 7-horse, Dave, Done Deal, our top selection in this 8th race. Our second selection, Dave, is the 4-horse Imperial Hint. El Carvajal is the trainer. Not awfully familiar with that trainer, but Javier Castellanos, the jockey, 6-5 in the morning line. Has, 3 bullet workouts coming into the race. Has done nothing wrong in its lifetime. 16 lifetime starts, 10 wins, 2 seconds.
A lot of record.
Has thrown some 109 buyer speed figures in there. Has never been on the Saratoga racetrack before. Ran 2nd in the Breeders' Cup sprint. So definitely has the class here and probably will be extremely overbet. So let's make the 4-horse, Dave, Imperial Hint, our second selection. And our third and final selection, let's go to the rail. Let's go to the rail. Switzerland, Steve Asmussen trains, Ricardo Santana, the jockey, 2-1 in the morning line. Asmussen has got off to a pretty nice start at Saratoga, 18%. This horse has an improving buyer speed figure pattern. Has a little bit of a layoff from that last race at Pimlico. Has a nice bullet workout in the holster coming into this race. Expect this horse to show in speed off the rail. And Asmussen does pretty well with these sprint races at Saratoga, especially the stakes and handicap races. So let's make the 1-horse, Dave, Switzerland, our third and final selection in this 8th race, Dave. So to summarize, race 8, Saratoga on Saturday, our selections are 7-4-1.
All right, so let's move on to the 9th race. The 9th race is a long distance here, 1 3/8. It's in the inner turf. This is a grade 2. It's the 60th running of the Bowling Green. It's $250,000. It's for 4-year-olds on upward. Get your picks.
Yeah, Dave, so let's I'm going to make my top selection, and this is the one that I've kind of promoted a little bit on the website. I'm going to make the 2-horse Channel Maker our top selection. Bill Mott trains, Joel Rosario the jockey, 10-1 in the morning line. Appears to have gotten a pretty wide trip out of a outside post in the Manhattan the last time out, but did close in a 22-second final quarter of a mile. Has a number of sub 12-second eighths of a mile in its past performances. Has been racing in grade ones on the turf. I like the fact that this horse is a 4-year-old, an English Channel horse, which is one of my favorite turf sires. And these are the kinds of races that that Mott finds a way to win. I think this horse has been well placed here. He has a number of workouts. Looks like this horse has been at Saratoga for quite a while, training there on the dirt track. But certainly the turf looks like this horse's best surface. I like the price. I like the trainer jockey combination. I like, a 4-year-old who should be improving in past performance. So let's make the 2-horse, Dave. Channel Maker, our top selection. Our second selection is going to be the 3-horse, Dave. The 3-horse is Bigger Picture. Mike Maker trains Jose Ortiz, the jockey, 8-1 in the morning line. Nice Saratoga record on the turf, 4 starts, a win, a second, a third. Has produced a 104 buyer speed figure at Saratoga, and second off a layoff. Mike Maker excels in these distance turf races, and I did not want to leave this horse off our top 3 selections because of that. So let's make the 3-horse, Dave, Bigger Picture, our second selection. And our third and final selection, Dave, is one of my favorite horses. Let's make the 6-horse, Saddler's Joy. Tom Albertrani trains Javier Castellano, the jockey, 7-2 in the morning line. This horse is going to close. And you know, look at the number of triple-digit buyer speed figures in this horse's past performance. Javier will be coming late. Javier's at 24% at Saratoga right now. Red hot. I have to put this horse in our top 3 picks, Dave. So I'm going to make the 6-horse Saddler's Joy our third selection here in this 9th race. And I have left out a lot of good horses, including horses that will probably be the first and second selections in the parimutuel wagering. So to summarize the 9th race, Dave, our selections are going to be the 2, the 3, and the 6.
All right, let's move on to the 10th race. 10th race is a 1 1/8, and it's a grade 2. It's the 55th running of the Jim Dandy. Purse is $600,000, and this is for 3-year-olds. Give us your picks.
Yeah, Dave, my top selection here is going to be the 4-horse Sporting Chance. Coach D. Wayne Lucas trains. Luis Sai is the jockey. 8-1 in the morning line. This horse is getting blinkers on, first-time blinkers. Horse has speed, and Lucas doesn't train a high percentage of winners these days, but this horse has been laid off since the Preakness after those 2 sloppy races, one at Churchill, one at Pimlico. And if you can remember how deep and rough those tracks were those 2 days, I don't think we've seen the best of this horse yet. I was pretty high on this horse. And had picked it on top. I think in the bluegrass, I had this horse as our top selection. So I like this horse. I think Lucas knows how to place them well when it comes to stakes races. Yep. And I'm gonna make the 4-horse Sporting Chance, who gets Luis Saez back as his jockey, our top selection. Our second selection in this race, Dave, is going to be the 1-horse. The 1-horse is Flame Away. Mark Cassie trains Jose Ortiz, the jockey, 7-2 in the morning line. Second off a layoff, which I like. It's going to get a nice inside trip, probably set off the back of our top selection. Certainly has the buyer speed figures to compete. And nice jockey switch to Jose Ortiz. So let's make the 1-horse Dave Flame Away our second selection. And our third and final selection in this race is going to be the 5-horse Vino Rosso. Pletcher trains Johnny Velasquez, the jockey. This horse is even money morning line. And
that's crazy.
And and it's probably off that Belmont race where this horse threw in a nice 97 buyer speed figure. But I think this horse will probably be over bet. Even money a little bit too rich for me to put as our top selection, where I don't see this horse as a standout. So our selections, Dave, in Saratoga's 10th race on Saturday are 4-1-5.
Okay. Before we wrap up, there are a couple things I've been mentioned to you, but I want to mention is first off is Justify is retiring. I don't know what your thoughts were on that. It was quite a shock, but not surprising.
No, Dave, the game of horse racing now has turned into stud fees and breeding. And these horses can actually make more money in the breeding shed than they can on the racetrack. So it's not surprising to me at all.
Yeah, and then another mention, our hearts go out to Victor Espinoza because he had quite a spill at Del Mar back on July 22nd. I guess he fractured a C3 vertebrae, so that's pretty bad as far as Victor goes.
Yeah, I saw that. I certainly, Victor, I love Victor. He's one of my favorite jockeys as well. He's won a bunch of big races for us. And, I guess the horse, Shanghai Bobby, was euthanized. And not a good situation. Dangerous game. These jockeys, Dave, are athletes and they don't have, they're not carrying a lot of weight on them. So when they get thrown, it hurts.
So anyway, I just want to make sure I mention those two things because those were pretty big in the news for horse racing this past week. And then we'll go ahead and wrap it up. Make sure you're going to our website, offthechartshorseracing.com. You know how to get to us. Listen to us. Click the links. Everything's there at the top. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at offthechartshr. We'll have any updates to the podcast, race day changes, and other picks. If you have any questions, feel free to send us an email. We have an email address, questions@offthechartshorseracing.com. With that, any closing comments before we wrap it up?
No, Dave, just looking forward to the Saratoga races on Saturday.
All right, great. We appreciate you joining us, and good luck, and good racing.